Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This wonderful story about Elijah. It's Elijah and the bread. Elijah had been this servant of the Lord and had done what he was asked to do, and finally got to the point where he was just plain tired of it. One of the commentaries that I read said that he was exhibiting signs of clinical depression. You know, in the 70s when they wrote commentaries, it was always something psychological. He was depressed, he needed therapy, and of course what he did was he sat down under a broom tree, a solitary broom tree, under the shade, and simply asked that he might die. It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. You know the ones. The ones who said to God, we're hungry, and God gave them bread, and they didn't like the bread, and they said, we want meat, and God gave them quail, and they didn't like that. And they said, I'm thirsty, and God gave them living water out of the rock, and it still wasn't enough. They still kept wanting to go back to where they had come from. Why did you take us away from our home in the land of Egypt, where we had plenty of food? I am no better than my ancestors, he says. And another reference to Moses, who tripped and stumbled over his leadership skills and apparently didn't read enough self-help books, who made mistake after mistake and kept trying to do things and didn't speak well. And Elijah identifies also with him. It is enough. Have you ever felt that way? I felt that way at 11 o'clock last night when I looked at my messages on my phone and the janitor called to say, Pastor, the fire alarm is going off and I don't know what to do. And then I checked the timestamp. 6:30 in the afternoon. It's 11 o'clock. And I thought to myself, I have got to drive back to the church again. And I showed up here, not in a particularly good mood, thinking the fire alarm is going off, the neighbors all hate us, no one knows how to turn it off, what am I going to do? I was so angry, and I walked up to the gate, and there was Seth. I thought you were at a party. No, I'm working. Did you hear the fire alarm? No. It is enough. It's not that I wanted to die, but I certainly wanted to go to sleep. You've all had those moments when you've had enough of your job or your spouse or your children, where you've had enough and you just want to sit under a tree and forget about it. As he sits under the tree and falls asleep, suddenly it says an angel came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, get up and eat. Doesn't say, you unfaithful servant, what are you doing laying around doing? How can you possibly not have the faith to go through the rest of your life praising God? What do you mean you don't want to be a prophet anymore? Come on. The power of positive thinking will get you through. He says, get up and eat. And he looked, and there at his head on a stone was a cake baked on the stone. Get up and eat. And there was a jar of water, and he ate and he drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." And he got up and he ate and he drank, and then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God, the very place where his ancestor Moses had received the Ten Commandments. I could just see him under that broom tree telling God, "I'm just not interested anymore." And God says, "Get up and eat. Find life." It's reminiscent of that wonderful story where Jesus heals the young girl when he says, it's the same, actually the same tense in the text, where he says to the young girl, "Talitha kum, get up, get up." It's that same message for Elijah. Get up and eat. When Jesus addresses the crowd on that day, as they are all there together after the feeding of the 5,000, and everyone is beginning to complain, Jesus says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they are all caught up in the theology and the imagery of it, and they miss that Jesus has placed a loaf of bread and a jar of water by the stone, by their heads, and bidden them and us to get up and drink. Get up and eat. Sometimes the journey is just plain too much for us. I have seen it so many times where someone in your family or yourself is overcome by cancer, overcome by grief, worried about money, concerned about losing your place to live. Sometimes it seems as if the journey is just too much. And it's not helpful at that point, at least in my humble opinion, to engage in all kinds of theological trickery or to call you to just be more faithful. You've all heard it. If you were just more faithful, if you just loved God more, everything would be better. But what God tells Elijah and what Jesus tells the crowd is to get up and eat the bread from heaven. If we don't consume that gift, which in it contains God's grace and God's love and God's promise, that draws us together, at least in this church, around this semicircle, on our knees in humility. Unless we come together and eat, I think sometimes the journey really is too much for us. This is the oasis where we come and we eat and we drink so that the journey will not be too much. In this gospel, Jesus then promises that everyone who eats of this bread and drinks of this cup will have eternal life. Wow. And whoever has eternal life after eating this bread from heaven, this bread of life, has it forever. I remember a conversation years and years ago where someone said, I could never be a Christian. And I said, well, why? And he says, because what you promise isn't true. And I said, yeah. What do you mean? Well, you all promise that if you are Christian and you believe in God and you eat this bread of heaven, you will live forever. And I said, yes. Well, why do you still have funerals? Excellent question, my friend. It's not because we like them. That eternal life that gets promised is not the lengthening, I think, of this stuff. It doesn't make it last longer. We're fascinated with the idea that we could live forever. Look at all of the movies out about that. The whole, what's the vampire thing? Twilight? You know? Everybody's so fascinated with that. They live forever and ever, and I can think of no greater misery than to live forever. I can't imagine for the next 1,000 years being called up once a month to fix the fire alarm. Can you? Can you imagine reporting to your cubicle every Monday through Friday for 4,000 years? Not only that, but the boss that you hate, 5,000 years. That's not what is promised. What's promised, as I told the children, is that that bread with which we are fed, that lovely bread, reminds us and promises to us that we will always be with God. Not that our days on earth will be lengthened, but that there is no end to being present with God. For me, that is far more comforting and far more exhilarating than the idea of teaching confirmation forever. So the Father that sends Jesus and sends down that bread from heaven rains it down in fullness and abundance on you and on me and on the whole world. And in that way, we are bound together as God says to us, get up and eat. The journey will not be too much for you, for I have gathered you with bread and wine and water and good people and work to do so that all might taste the sweetness of God's grace. So get up and eat. Amen.